It's a subject we've been covering here on the radio program for quite some time, and it seems more so recently. Fortunately, OC Human Relations has been in Orange County for 30-plus years, fighting hate. They have an April 27th dialogue on race relations. To talk to us about that and a whole bunch more, we have the CEO of OC Human Relations, Allie Edwards, with us. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you. Good morning.
How are you today, Allie?
I'm doing okay. Thanks.
Okay. You have a dialogue on race relations coming up on April 27th. Tell us a little bit about that before I get into the meat of what we'll discuss later.
Sure. So that's going to be the first in a series of dialogues that we'd like to invite folks to just come, learn, listen, hear from your neighbors in Orange County. This is a great time for people who maybe have never had a conversation like this to join us. It's open to anyone who would like to be part of that conversation. You don't have to have, you know, any experience. It's just a time really to connect and see what life is like for each other living here in Orange County.
Okay. And in the wake of the recent spate of hate crimes that we've seen directed specifically toward Asian American Pacific Islanders, none of these attacks were perpetrated by Blacks, Latinos, or other Asians. These victims were all assaulted or killed by white men, and in many cases, white supremacist men. My question is, these used to be rats hiding in dark crevices, but now they're out in the open and proud of their ignorance and the hatred they spew. What's changed?
Well, I think, you know, we can see a change probably in the last 5 or 6 years that partly maybe is about our political divisions, but I think also just a lot of rhetoric from leadership that was pitting us against one another, certainly with COVID, lots of anti-Chinese rhetoric that has seemed to contribute to this fervor. I mean, locally, if we look back in our reporting on hate crime and hate incident, starting in 2015, we've seen a steady rise where if you look at from like 2014 to 2018, our hate incident reports increased by more than 10 times. And our hate crime reporting from 2015 to 2019 almost doubled. So we know that, you know, that people are taking action on their prejudices and bigotry in a way that, you know, wasn't happening in the years immediately before that.
Right. So I think with that, you've created a movement to wipe out white supremacy. And I think my question here is, when 74 million Americans vote for an openly unapologetic supporter of white supremacy as recently as this past November, not that the 74 million are all white supremacists, but they supported someone who supports those views. Where do we begin to solve this problem?
Well, it's definitely not an easy problem to solve. A couple of things that I think are important is, you know, we need to all continue to make those statements about what kind of community we want to see here. And many of our local leaders have done that. They're speaking out against hate and white supremacy. But we need those messages to be around all the time, not just when we see these big spikes in hate activity, but we need clear and consistent messaging that this is the, you know, the type of values that we're pursuing in this county. And we need folks to think about policy changes that they can match with that. That's really important. Another thing that I think we need to think about is some of this rhetoric that's coming out of some of these extremist movements is really like fear-mongering, divide and conquer rhetoric. We need to make sure that everyone knows that they have a place in anti-racist work. And certainly our organization, that's why we have things like that April 27th dialogue. It's not for a certain person. It's for all people who want to feel welcomed and safe in their community and want their neighbors to feel safe and welcome in their community. So kind of this idea that only some people are included, we just really need to speak out against that as well and make sure that we don't start this finger pointing that says some people are to blame. It's really about collectively, we each have responsibility. It's not about blaming. It's about stepping up and taking responsibility for a safe and inclusive community.
Very clear. Very clear. Should there be regulations against and penalties for hate groups and hate speech on social media? And maybe would designating them as domestic terrorists alleviate the free speech argument that you would face? Would that be one of the policy changes we'd be looking at?
I think that free speech is so deeply embedded in our American culture that I don't know that is the first place to start. I think right now we see a lot of private companies, you know, expressing their values through their business practices and whether or not they allow folks to stay on particularly their social media platforms. We do have hate crime enhancements, which means anyone that's prosecuted for a hate crime, their sentence can be enhanced or made longer in order to account for the hate motivation in their crime. But I think we also need to start thinking about alternatives. You know, sometimes hate crime and hate incident are done out of ignorance, and finding ways to really, you know, build a community where people can learn from that, and instead of relying on just incarceration as a way to prohibit hate activity seems important too.
Okay. Here in Orange County, is Huntington Beach the Orange County magnet for white supremacists? And if so, why?
Well, there is a history of that being the case in terms of some, you know, gathering spots. In the 90s, Huntington Beach had a couple of really high profile hate crimes, particularly the murder of Vernon Flournoy. And around that time, the city developed its human relations task force. They made a statement on human dignity, and they really did a lot of work to send a different message. That was successful. A lot of people left, a lot of the sort of like avowed white supremacists left the area. But we have seen a resurgence. Certainly the Pier is a place that is known for those gatherings. In general, if you look at the data from the Southern Poverty Law Center, Orange County has always had kind of been overrepresented in the tracking of hate groups. You know, we typically have 7 or 8 identified hate groups that are headquartered here in Orange County. And that's just more than, I would say, most areas, geographic areas in the nation.
And as recently as this past March at a supervisors meeting, the commission presented data related to a spike in anti-Asian hate crimes during the pandemic, which prompted the supervisors to issue an anti-racism proclamation, and it started a public discussion. Are you getting support from the supervisors at this point?
Yes, so we did present data at that meeting that shows that just our preliminary data for 2020 showed a tenfold increase in hate activity targeting our Asian American community here in Orange County. And the supervisors have said that they intend to, you know, hear recommendations from community via the Human Relations Commission on how to better address race-based hate activity in Orange County. And Supervisor Bartlett has made a public commitment to seek additional funding so that we can do things like expand the languages that we're able to offer in our reporting and our response services.
And what kind of timeline are we looking at for this additional funding?
Gosh, that's a great question. I know that we are due to present recommendations back to the Board of Supervisors in mid-May. And we hope that proposals for funding will run somewhat concurrent to that.
Okay. And just, this is a pedestrian question, really, I think. Should there be a push here in Orange County to identify and out white supremacists and maybe organize boycotts against the businesses they work for and shine more of a light on them?
Certainly, you know, boycotts and voting with your dollars, as people have said, is a way to take action as an individual. I think we need to also expand our view of this a little bit. Certainly, we need to combat white supremacists, the individuals that identify this way and that espouse this extremist ideology. But we also need to pay attention to the harm that's been done historically by the ideology of white supremacy and racism. So I hope that we can both work on educating or calling out white supremacists, but also how are we going to address the harms of the past? How are we going to make sure that moving forward, our whole community is moving towards equity? And I think equity comes not just with calling out those individuals, but looking at the harms of the past and any current policies that maybe are creating harm or having or producing, you know, sort of like a racialized outcome. And that's something that we can ask for as a community and that we can move towards together.
Okay. And as a community, should we be starting in the elementary schools and moving our way up? And how do you get Orange County businesses involved in this fight?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, in our history, many businesses have been supportive of our work and our organization. We're happy to have so many people that have, you know, contributed to our programs and initiatives over time. But yes, there's definitely more ways that businesses can engage and even just making sure that we've created equitable workplaces so that if people are recruited from out of the area, that they feel like Orange County is going to be a place that they want to call home, where they feel welcomed, and that that we have a reputation, you know, for a place where anyone can thrive regardless of their background. And because of some of the news stories about Orange County and some of the realities of Orange County, not everyone wants to come here because they may fear whether or not, especially if they're a person of color, if they'll feel welcomed here in all parts of the county. So I think we can make moves to make sure that businesses are espousing those values that make this a welcoming community, and then also, of course, putting those same values into practice. That's really important. And I can say also, as a parent of elementary aged students, I love every time they come home and they've learned something about a different community. I love every time we get to talk about why maybe our experiences are different from other families. And they are really tuned into that. Sometimes people worry that young children are not going to be able to process that, but they're already really tuned into differences. They're already really concerned with things like fairness. They already see things like this. So giving them the language and the context to understand it and to take action in their own way is really important. I think we cannot underestimate actually how savvy our elementary age students are about seeing these things.
So as you speak with your kids and speak with kids their age, if you were to take an honest look into our future, what does it look like in a year or 5 years or maybe even 20 years? What does our future look like?
Well, I do think there's reason to be optimistic. I see we do a lot of work in middle and high schools, and I see lots of schools taking proactive steps to say, like, how do we create classrooms? How do we create curriculum? How do we create parent engagement that really shows that we're welcoming, that we value the input of all the communities that we serve, that we recognize their histories and that we want to tell those histories and that we want to see young people represented in what they learn about. So I think there's reason to be optimistic, but it doesn't mean that we each say, oh, okay, somebody else is doing that. I can go back to whatever I was doing. I would encourage folks to really stay engaged, get to know your local leaders, get to know your school board members, pay attention to how those decisions affect your community, and ask for those leaders to join us in taking a stand against racism and working towards equity. A lot of impact can be made on the local level. So I encourage people to do that and just stay engaged. We all in this work have opportunities to take a stand. And guess what? Sometimes we make mistakes. I certainly do. It can feel intimidating to join in on a conversation about race or racism. But stay involved. Take the risk. When we make mistakes, we own our mistakes and we stay in the fight. That's something that is so important. Just get in there and learn and stay at it. And again, you know, if it's intimidating to you, join us on April 27th for our series. We'll do another series in the summer on digital extremism that people can join in on. And we'll have more offerings this year for people who are just kind of stepping into this world for the first time.
Okay. So if our listeners do want to get involved, where are you? How do they find you? And how do they become part of this April 27th dialogue?
Yeah, great. So we're at ochumanrelations.org, and we have, you can register for those dialogues there. We are still, our office is still, the physical location is still closed. So for now, online is the best place to find us and reach out there, and we'll be happy to welcome you into our work.
Okay. You do important work, Allie Edwards. We thank you for being part of the program this morning, and we invite you to please check back in with us from time to time. OC Human Relations CEO Allie Edwards, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much.